Welcome to the Clubhouse. 1490 WGCH, 105.5 FM, GCH.com, distributed by Sports Byline USA all around the world. I'm Rob Adams. Welcome aboard. Great show tonight. If you love football, this is a phenomenal show tonight, especially coming off the NFL draft, and I'm so excited. But I got to make sure I bring in my partner of undefinable years at this point, Mark Jeffers. Mark, how are you?
I'm fine, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Let's talk. How are you and how's your mom?
My mom is great. She celebrated her 83rd birthday last Friday, so she's doing very well, and she sends her love to everybody.
Well, happy birthday to her. And, yes, we have a super show. Yes, the producers have, again, outdone themselves. And, you know, I really did enjoy the draft. I thought it was really pretty cool. We'll talk about that during the hour, and we've got some really great guests to back that up. I see that David is over there, so I want to bring him into the show. David, how are you, my friend?
And Mark, Rob, how are you fellas doing?
Good, Dave.
Yeah. I'm getting a little tired of seeing you this way, but it is what it is.
I think I last talked to you about 24 hours ago, Dave.
Yeah, it was fun. I enjoyed that show. I just want to put this rumor to rest, okay? I did not eat Roger Goodell's M&Ms, okay? my wife said he's not eating them because he was in too good a shape, but it wasn't me.
What we're able to do...
I think you look great, Dave.
If you're not familiar with Zoom, folks, this is how we're doing the show. And each one of us puts our name in the corner. And so Dave says, Dave Taromeo, I did not eat Roger's M&Ms. And I was going to, and I didn't do this, I was going to put my name is John Marinelli's favorite broadcaster, but I didn't do that.
You should have.
It's very tempting. Very tempting to do so. But anyway, welcome aboard. Mark, a huge show. We should dive right in.
I want to touch real quickly,
yes,
with Manhattanville. Dave, what's going on in the school?
Yeah, so we obviously are finishing up our spring semester. We have our classes finishing up, and then we'll start summer with your class, Mark. We have our role of an agent class. Terry and Lou and Zach might be interested in that class that's finishing up. We've had Lee Steinberg. We've had some attorneys, some other people. So tomorrow night we have Tom Laidlaw coming on, the former New York Ranger, who's also an agent.
And we'll get it all started. Terry Hanratty, Zach Allen, Lou Marinelli, all joining us. Bob Small also in the studio. Big show. It starts right after this. 1490 AM, 105.5 FM, WGCH.com, The Clubhouse. We'll be right back.
From the beach to the backcountry, education, recreation, or politics, learn all about it on Greenwich Matters every Thursday night from 6 to 8 p.m. on 1490 WGCH.
Clubhouse for the last Wednesday in April, Mark Jeffers. It's crazy.
Well, by the way, I got to mention this. In May, I'm celebrating an anniversary, so you know, Sarah wanted me to plug that early so we can start sending the gifts to her.
How many years, Mark?
Get that squared away.
I can't count that high.
Oh, God bless that woman. That's all I have to say.
I know. All right, before we get into our guests, I want to do a quick plug for our friends at Grand Prix New York, where we used to do the show out of live. They are continuing their donations to Feeding Westchester. 50% of all gift card sales from now until tomorrow will be given to Feeding Westchester, which mission is to end hunger in Westchester County. With more than 300 partners, they source and distribute food and other resources to towns across Westchester, helping to ensure that none of our neighbors are hungry. So big applause for them.
Yep. Good job, guys.
Great job.
Who are you starting with?
Well, and by the way, I got to tell you, I know it's around radio, but this Zoom thing is really cool. Because actually, we're seeing all the... I'm like, I know... I don't think I've ever seen Hanratty's face. Well, maybe on MTV or something. But anyways, it's my real great pleasure to introduce a two-time Super Bowl champion with the Pittsburgh Steelers and a national champion with Notre Dame and an all-around good guy. Welcome back to the Clubhouse, to Terry Hanratty. Terry, welcome.
Well, thank you. Thanks for being here.
So, first of all, before we get into the whole sports thing, how are you? And tell our audience, you've been through this terrible COVID tell a little bit about your story, because we're very interested and we're hoping that you look good, by the way, on Zoom. And our radio audience would love to know how you're doing.
Well, I went through the full blown. I had the double pneumonia with the corona. I was in the hospital for about 6 days. It's a really good diet. I don't recommend it to anybody. A lot of in the hospital. But no, it was interesting because I had a temperature of a little over 103 at one point. My oxygen level fell below like around 84, 85. It's normally about 95, 96. So they put me in the hospital, and I was in Norwalk Hospital, and those people were absolutely great. But, if you're going to be in a hospital, that's where to be. That's the kind of care you'd want. But it was something that you can't take lightly. I thought I was pretty good. If I go to the grocery store, I'd take my own bag with me, and I'd try to stay away from people and whatnot. And, I came down, I caught it. How I caught it, I don't know. I could probably... it could be a handle on a doorknob somewhere that you caught it. But, I went through it. In fact, just today I got the full-blown clear. I no longer have any of the virus in me. I can, my antibodies are positive, which is good because it means I can become a donor. And so now I have to apply for, because you got to sign papers or whatever to be a donor. So that's the process that I started today. So that's...
Wow.
We'll hopefully be able to, through this nastiness, you can be able to help somebody, which would be really cool.
Terry, I'll just say, when I heard this, I was very concerned. And then when I read the article just recently in the Indianapolis Star that you, your daughter got you to quit smoking 3 years ago, I think that may have been a big part of your recovery.
Well, that was definitely, had I still been smoking, there's no way that my lungs could have fought off all that pneumonia and coronavirus. There's no way. So that was the deciding factor in all this.
So big round of applause here. He's back, ladies and gentlemen. I like that. All right, so Terry, did you get a chance to watch the NFL draft this past weekend and the past couple of days?
I did watch it. We started out, because you've been watching so many 20-year-old golf, 20-year-old basketball, and it got really, now all of a sudden you have a live semi-sports deal. And I started listening, and there's so much time between each pick. I guess maybe the older you get, the more time it seems like, and it's, I watched about the first 15 or no picks, and that's all I could do. But then I watched a little bit the next day, and I didn't spend a lot of time because I didn't know a lot of the kids were being in the draft. I saw where the Notre Dame kids went, and that was about all I was.
Well, speaking of Notre Dame, I just want to get your feel of how they did this show. I thought on the technical side, as a viewer, I thought it was kind of cool. But before we go to that, can you tell us a little bit about what? Or what you think is going on with Notre Dame, or that you can tell us.
You mean as far as the season, or as far as
coming up this fall, if there's going to be fall, or what they're doing in preparation? Because we don't know anything right now.
There's not a lot they can do in preparation. I think that they were geared to have a pretty good team. Everybody was basically bad. The whole offensive line was back, and Book is back, and there's a lot of good stuff there. But with this virus coming in, it's going to throw a whole monkey wrench into all sports, and I think college football is going to pay the biggest price because they are college kids, and most athletic directors have said if the student body's not back, our football players won't be back. So the NFL is a different thing. I think they can get going. I think baseball can get going. Basketball scares me a little bit because these kids are banging each other and they're all sweating and their sweat's flying everywhere and the officials are there. And I think what we're going to see is I don't think any sport's going to have any fans. It's going to be interesting to see with no fans. But I think it's something that's totally necessary because you don't want this virus to come back. Now, I think in the next month or two, we're going to have a real good handle on where we stand with this thing. Because every day you hear, different things and different rumors about, a drug here, a drug there, that's something that can help you. But they don't have a vaccine yet, but, that's not for several months. But I think they can get something out there that could help people. And it's going to be difficult because if you have college students, you can't have anything go wrong with a college kid. Your pros are different because they're getting paid for what they do, but college kids are, they're 19, 20 years old. You can't force them to go out there and play. I mean, that's going to be against, everything that we try to teach. And I think it's going to be, I think that it's going to be a real big question mark for these coaches and athletic directors, how, and presidents of universities, of how we're going to get this done.
Terry, quick question. This is Dave. So I don't think Mark, Mark lives in some place in like Bedford Hills or something. So, for us New Canaan guys, we have to. I'll be the first to mention it. The New Canaan connection here, obviously, with Zach and you and myself and Lou. But so New Canaan has sent the quarterback to Notre Dame, Drew Pine. And I'm just wondering, what your thoughts are, with Drew is. I'm sure you saw him play a lot.
Well, I think he's well coached. There's no doubt there that he's had, coaching from very early age. I think it's really good. And, Book is obviously the quarterback, so Dracovic transferred to Boston College, so that opens up a spot there. I don't know much about the backup. I've seen him play sporadically in a couple of different games.
Yep.
But, Pine has some, he has, when you get a contact sport, you're a couple injuries away from getting in the huddle. So, you've got to totally engross yourself into the offense and learn that, A to Z. And you've just got to stay prepared because you don't know when it's going to happen. It could happen in the first day. You don't know.
You think they'll redshirt him?
I think they probably want to.
Yeah.
Because most freshmen, they'd like to redshirt. No matter, unless someone's going to come in and, just be a impact player right out of the bat. And that's usually a defensive player. It's, the offensive, takes a defense more headhunters. Offense takes a little more skill. It's always been that way. So, most of the guys get, and the offensive line are big at getting redshirted. And unless you're running back, you don't need a quarterback right now because you've got, a very good one and you got a good backup. So, that would be logical.
So I have a question I'm going to ask the other gentlemen as we progress in the show. But Terry, going back to, whether it's Notre Dame or Pittsburgh, as a player, what would you like, or maybe Rob, do we need to go to a commercial?
Yeah, let's grab a commercial. We'll come right back and we'll continue with Terry Hanratty. We're going to get Zach Allen, Lou Marinelli involved as well as we continue on the clubhouse for this last Wednesday in the month of April. 1490 AM, 105.5 FM, and WGCH.com anywhere as the clubhouse returns in just a moment.
Hey, Mom. I spy with my little eye something blue.
That box of crackers.
Yes. I spy with my little eye something purple.
The grape juice.
Yeah. I spy something red and white with rows of little boxes.
Oh, all those packs of cigarettes?
Kids take notice of tobacco products and promotions in stores. And the more they see, the more likely they are to start smoking. Visit SeenEnoughTobacco.org to take action.
Brought to you by Power Against Tobacco.
Hello, everyone. My name is Nay. I play the group. Tune in for jazz, soul, doo-wop, group harmony from the 50s and early 60s, reggae, hip-hop, talk, and more. You're listening to Nay Plays the Groups.
Heard Sundays from noon till 2 on 1490 WGCH.
Welcome back to the clubhouse. I'm Rob Adams. Dave Taromeo did not eat Roger Goodell's M&Ms, and Mark Jeffers, I don't think he ate the M&Ms either. I don't think so.
No, but I want to try to get my residency, at least a partial residency. I love Bedford Hills, but, Canaan's a lovely town. I've spoken bread there with Dave many a time, so, I feel like I'm not an outsider. I like Canaan. But anyway,
do you have a football team in Bedford Hills? Do they play football in that town?
We do have a football team. Fox Lane is a good team. I mean, it's not McCannon, but it's a good team. All right, let me finish my quick question to Terry, then we'll bring on the whole gang from McCannon and talk. But Terry,
do I get paid more for being on so much longer than everybody?
Yeah, you know what? You get double the pay you were going to get. So there you have the equation. But, you know, by the way, Zach and Coach are getting three times the amount of money you're getting. So that's,
oh, again, yeah.
That quarter of zero is going to be. Anyway, so, Terry, my question was, college, professional, you always played in front of fans and great fans. As a player, how do you think that will, if it does go to that, we don't know yet for sure, but as a player, what do you think that's going to be like with no
fans? It's going to be very strange because you get, I played in a very big high school area and the whole town went to the Friday night lights. Obviously, at Notre Dame, the stadium was packed for my sophomore year on. They had a full house. In the pros, my rookie year with Steelers, the Steelers were not good. And we weren't good my rookie year either, 1-13. But you still had about probably 40,000 people there. But now with having no one in the stands, it's going to be just you're not going to have to yell, I'll tell you what. If you're trying to call an audible, take your time because everybody's going to hear you up and down the line. But it's going to be very strange, and I think they better get used to it because that's the way it's going to be.
Terry, did
Zach probably has the insight because his team's telling him what to do when you get to practice there.
Yeah, no, they haven't told us a lot yet. It's just been all virtual meetings and stuff, so we're still just waiting. Like this, just today they extended the stay at home here in Arizona, so. We still have no idea.
Tell me, does anybody call you the nickname that I gave you?
No one calls you that. No.
I coached Zach first grade. It was 4-on-4 co-ed basketball. My daughter was the point guard. Zach was obviously our center, and I would tell her, drive down the middle, and if they stop you, just throw it over the head and have Baby Shaq catch it. So I calling everybody. He just grabbed it, and it was a short basket. He just put in the basket. The most dominating team I've ever coached in my life. I had to work to hold down the score. And Aaron says, hello, Zach. She's right here. So I dubbed him Baby Shaq, and he had that for a while, but I think when he went to Boston College, he lost it.
Yeah.
Well, that's about all he lost. As Terry introduced Zach Allen for us, because he had a sensational career there, obviously. And Mark, I think you wanted me to introduce Lou as well, so I'll do that. Lou, man, and how do you introduce a legend? And that's exactly what he is. I know he's too modest to admit that, but I guess the one story I can tell you that would kind of show this is, I've worked in college athletics many years, and I get a call from an old friend of mine, Howie Davis. Used to be a longtime sports information director for UMass. He was one time one of the top guys in the industry and a good guy. He's like, Dave, I can't get a hold of Lou Marinelli. How do I get a hold of this guy? I said, well, what's going on? Well, we want to induct him into the Springfield College Hall of Fame. So finally, I was able to get Lou to connect that to Howie Davis, and he was inducted. But typical of Lou, he was probably like, oh, Hall of Fame, whatever. But Lou Marinelli, going into his, 40th season, Lou?
Yeah, next year will be the 40th, yeah.
And over 300 wins and just a tremendous career. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. I want to know, before you even go any further, though, don't let Zach Allen kid you. He's really in Nantucket. Look behind him. That's his first window.
That's $30 Bed Bath & Beyond art right there.
All right, I promised you guys some audio, Mark. I'm going to make good on this one. I'm not going to be allowed back in Greenwich after I play this, though.
Second and 17 at the 13-yard line. Cardinals moving from right to left in the white uniforms. Marzullo takes the snap, looking left, now runs to his right. He has all kinds of time, but he's got to get rid of it. He does throw it, and it's intercepted. Zach Allen, touchdown.
Woo! And what did he do after?
And Zach Allen will get a flag thrown on him as he goes into the end zone and goes Jimmy Graham.
There you go.
Which means he spiked the ball over the goalpost.
Yes, he did.
For those who don't know, he was a tremendous athlete in New Canaan, obviously, and And Lou, just so back to you, Lou, you know, obviously, you know, this is New Canaan. You know, it's a football town. You know, we talk about Friday Night Lights. It's a real thing here. And I think, you know, and Zach can speak to that too. But at the end of the day, you know, it's great. And I think the parental support you get is tremendous. Although I do want to ask you a question about that, because I know your friend Rob Murgard, who said Salos, would answer this one way. What, you know, in 40 years of coaching, you know, what's changed or what's become more difficult for you?
I think the parents' expectations may be a little bit more than they were. You know, it's unfortunate. You know, a lot of kids, and I blame lacrosse and some other sports that have turned it into some kind of the capitalizing or the I don't know the right word, but, you know, making money off of kids to try to say that, well, we're going to get you into college. Yeah. And then so and I think in the last few years we felt that, because it was more about where I can get my son to college rather than where, you know, the New Canaan Rams winning the state championship. And that's been the hardest thing, the expectations. And I think that, you know, if you go back to when they first started high school sports, it was more about teaching kids lessons and, you know, life lessons. And my goal is to make sure that, you know, our kids are better people for playing New Canaan football. Really, that's the goal. And I think the lessons that you learn from playing, the teamwork, the discipline, the commitment, you know, are all things that could get lost if you're doing it for other reasons. But that's been the biggest change that I've seen.
It's kind of the answer I expected, Lou. I mean, because at the end of the day, I think the expectation in New Canaan is state championship, you know, beat Darien or it's a lost season. And that's really unfair, I think. And I think Zach, you know, can talk to his experience in New Canaan, obviously being groomed to play it at a great institution like Boston College and now obviously in the NFL. But I mean, for me, I think football teaches more than, you know, you can play in the NFL or you can play in college. I mean, and I've seen that, you know, with my son, who lost his senior year to an injury. But I think having played football up to that point helped him kind of be the person that he is today. So that's why that's helping.
That's really the goal. You know, it's not, you know, the Zach Allens are exceptions to the rule. I mean, they're kids that were tremendous athletes and really capitalized on getting a college education. Look at him today. Really a model student. Model, I mean, he's a national scholar athlete that was honored at by the National Football Foundation at the down in New York City. Just a tremendous example. But it's those other kids that you know, don't get the scholarships, but they were able to play. And even if they don't ever play again, you just hope that they have learned enough about those important values that are going to help them be successful later on.
For those who don't know, Darien New Canaan play one of the great rivalries in the country. It goes back to 1928. And Zach, I'll throw this to you. How much does playing Darien every year mean? Is it bigger than a state championship, bigger than FCAC? You know, what does it mean to play Darien?
Oh, it's definitely a lot more. I mean, those were always the biggest game. I mean, my two state championship appearances and wins were against Darien. So, I mean, we were lucky to get them twice a year, which made it even more fun. And it was not just those two towns coming together. It's the whole state really coming together. But yeah, like my junior year, for example, we played the FCAC championship against St. Joe's, who, you know, we always had, you know, they were a good team and everything, but we never really had, you know, any trouble with, you know, we always beat them pretty handedly when I was there. So, like a game like that was not nearly what it was on Thanksgiving or when we played them in the playoffs.
All right, Zach, I have a question for you. It's Mark from Bedford Hills. I know. Well, I wanted to know, congratulations. It's really an honor to chat with you. And, you know, I wanted to ask you, and then I actually want to ask Lou a similar question, is we were watching the draft this past week, and because of the virus, we were watching, you know, players more at home, seeing the reactions. I was going to tell our audience a little bit about when they called your name, what was the feeling of being drafted into the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it was like the phone. So, like, every time, you know, you have to turn everyone's phone off because, you know, anytime a phone goes off, it's just the stress is so high. And then, well, I mean, for me especially, like, my range was so wide from where I could go. You know, it's just like every single pick is just like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And then finally the phone goes off and, you know, you talk to everybody. I really was in shock. Our GM was on the phone. He's like, are you there? Like, what's going on? Like, cause like, I was just so quiet. Like, I was just, I couldn't believe it. And then, yeah, I mean, it was just, and then I remember having just like the sense of relief and I just like, you know, just stepped away. I just like broke down and cried. Cause it's just kind of like a culmination of everything. You know, cause it's a big part. It's, you know, I really never thought, I mean, Lou's told the story a million times. That I'd be in that position because I almost gave it up. But I'm just so glad that I stuck with it. And, you know, especially going to a great city like Arizona, Phoenix, to play for the Cardinals.
Hold that thought. We'll take a break. We'll come back right after this with Terry Hanratty, Zach Allen, Lou Marinelli, Dave Mark, and I back on the clubhouse.
This is the sound of one person walking. This is another. Imagine the sound of more than 5 million footsteps, one for every American living with Alzheimer's disease. Add in the millions more who feel its effects, and think about the impact we can make when we all walk together to put an end to Alzheimer's for good. Join the Alzheimer's Association Walk to End Alzheimer's today. Register now at alz.org/walk.
For 2 hours, every Thursday night at 6, listen in and even converse with the man in the know regarding all matters Greenwich. Listen to Sam Romeo's show, Greenwich Matters, brought to you by Parsonage, where their philosophy is to assist you in living life your way. From the beach to the backcountry, education, recreation, or politics, learn all about it on Greenwich Matters, every Thursday night from 6 to 8 p.m. on 1490 WGCH.
Welcome back to the clubhouse. Once again, a lot of juggling with a lot of great guests and a lot of fun to do it as we bring you back with another Zoom edition during the middle of this pandemic. And I still think it's just great content, Mark, that for the people that we're having on to, you know, have these conversations, it gives us all something to smile about.
Well, I agree. And we want to thank, you know, Bob Small and GCH and for keeping us on the air because, you know what? My bad jokes are, you know, sometimes make somebody smile or not, and sometimes makes Dave cry. That's for another hour. But I want to finish off with Zach. That was a really cool answer you had there. But I wanted to ask Coach Lou. You were alluding to a story about how he would tell that story. So I'd love to have our listeners say, "What Coach, when you see a player like Zach get drafted, or another one of your guys that's been on your team." Get drafted into the NFL or go to college as well. What's the feeling as a coach?
When Zach was selected, we were down as a staff in one of the local restaurants. And, you know, we were waiting to see when it was going to be. And, you know, we were full of excitement with our wives. And then all of a sudden he was selected. And it was, I was a little surprised that he's going so far from home. I was hoping he'd, you know, end up with the Giants or something like that. But
me too.
but, you know, I'll tell you, I got a chance to go visit my son and watch a game on Saturday. And then Zach fixed us up with tickets on Sunday, even though that was the week he got hurt and wasn't able to play. But, I mean, it's such a thrill to see somebody. And, you know, he talks about the story. And I'm sure he's told the story more than me about when he was a sophomore. But there's always, and his father tells a little bit different. There's three different versions of the story, but it doesn't really matter. He stuck it out and played from his sophomore year, started from his sophomore year right through his senior year. Never missed a practice, never missed a game, played in pain. He did all the things that got him to where he is right now.
And I'll add that Lou's son, John Marinelli, was not only his offensive guru for a long time, but then became the head football coach at Greenwich High School, won a championship there. We won't go into how many times he and his father met on the field. My gosh, that story got overplayed after a while, I'm sure, for Lou and for John. And John is now coaching out at the University of Arizona. So John is phenomenal, Lou. I had such a great time working with him down in Greenwich.
Yeah, he works very hard at it. And, truth be told, he didn't really want to take the Greenwich job. We had to push him out. But after getting my brains beat in the state championship, I wish I had kept him. Because we didn't have any answers at all that day. I mean, it was bad. But he's done a great job. And we're Zoom meeting with him. Almost every day now with our staff and everything. He's really been tremendous in helping us out. He's actually, he's given a clinic to all the Connecticut coaches, high school coaches, on Fridays from University of Arizona. Has their staff speaking and everything. It's been really great.
Okay, so let's get back to the New Canaan thing for a second. When I was setting this up with Zach, I texted him and I said, Zach, how strange would it be for you be lining up against another New Canaan football player in the National Football League? And he just said that would be, I forget the word, just amazing or something. And it is amazing. I mean, you think about New Canaan, Connecticut, now with Lucas Niang drafted in the third round last week to the world champions, the Super Bowl champion in Kansas City Chiefs, and Zach Allen, I don't know. I'd have to do the research, and I meant to do it. But I think if you look at towns that have multiple players in the NFL, this has to be a first, I would think, for Connecticut, but I mean, maybe Miami, Florida, they probably have a bunch, right? But at the end of the day, Zach, if that should happen, and maybe someday they line up in the Super Bowl against each other, I mean, how cool would that be?
Well, they got to beat my Steelers first.
Yeah, there we go. That's what I want to hear.
Very good. Okay. I'm just glad you didn't say Patriots, even though the Patriots flag is behind me. That's my wife, because she's the only Patriots fan in this house.
If you want to add to that, you have to add Curtis Casale, who was an All-State quarterback for us, who now is a catcher for the Cincinnati Reds.
That's right.
And don't forget Max Pacioretty, who is still playing. I think he's playing for Vegas now.
Yeah.
Was captain of the Montreal Canadiens. Not too many towns can really say that they have two NFL guys, a Major League Baseball player, and an NHL player.
That's true. That is so true.
It's amazing, really.
I don't think to the NBA yet, however. But that's,
we're working on it. We're working on it.
So I have to ask my question that I asked Terry earlier. I want to ask it to Zach first and then back to the coach, but – so, Zach, when you're, if the season does move on and we're lucky enough to see some NFL action, as an NFL player, what do you think it's going to be like to play if that is the case in front of no fans? Will it be obviously it'll be strange, but what's your feelings on that?
I think he's muted. Are you muted? Can't hear.
Oh, can't hear.
No, it's not muted on this end.
You hear me or no?
Yeah, we've got you.
Zach found out how much money he was making.
All right. Here are the checks in the mail.
No, it would be crazy. I mean, because we, our practices during training camp, we have fans there, and they fill out, like, most of the lower bowl. So that was a big difference. So, I haven't had a game without fans or a practice without fans, really, and a really long time. But no, I'd definitely be different, but I think honestly, I think it'd be a cool little experience though. Just kind of, just the players. It would be kind of like those joint practices you see. I definitely think it'd probably get a lot more chippier. this is something, unparalleled, and, we just kind of hopefully, go with the flow with it.
Yep.
Lou, do you think we're going to have football in the fall? What are you hearing?
I absolutely think everybody's kind of waiting to see, but I think we're going to have football. I think we're going to go back to normal. And we're, you know, we're looking forward to it. It's the best time of the year.
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, with college football, NFL, and the high school rivalries and stuff, you know, I everybody's trying to be very cautious. And, you know, Terry gave me a scare because we heard that he had contracted the virus. And then I called him, and he didn't answer me for about 5 days. So I said, oh, my God. And he's my recruiting – Terry's my recruiting coordinator. You know, he goes through the youth. And he tells me about all of the upcoming stars and what I have to look forward to. So I was very nervous, but then he finally called me, thank God. So, but, you know, I'm very, very optimistic about it and looking forward to it.
Good. Me too.
Yeah, Rob and I were talking about this yesterday on his show. And it's, you know, sports is such a fabric of our society, you know, at all levels, you know, youth, high school, college, pro. You know, television, I mean, it's just really strange, and we're saturated, and this is just a, obviously, hopefully we never see this again, but at the end of the day, after 9/11, it was really baseball and sports, you know, the kind of, you know, college football and high school football was running at that time. You know, once we felt, you know, those things going again, then we felt like things were, you know, obviously not going to be the same, but we were moving forward. You know,
hopefully that's going to happen. Yeah,
I agree. Yeah. So Zach, you didn't really answer my question. So what's it like to have another New Canaan football player in the NFL? Have you talked to Lucas? Have you guys connected?
Yeah, I congratulated Lucas. And I've been in contact with him. It's actually, we have the same agent too. So, I kind of helped him with that process a little bit. But no, I'm just really happy for him. He obviously deserves it. And I mean, I saw how hard he worked in high school because we go against each other every single day. First thing we always did in practice back then was a 2-minute drill. So it was just, you know, like 6-8 straight pass rushes against each other. So, no, I think it's awesome. And, you know, hopefully, you know, somehow stars align. We face each other, you know, either this year or next year. But it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm really proud of him.
Yeah, we have a youth coach here. I won't say his name, but he'll probably know who it is if he hears this, who kind of takes credit for Lucas's development. And I said to my wife, you know, you can't teach size. 6'6", or you, right? You guys are, you're big people, right? So, I mean, that helps.
Yeah, right, right.
Zach, I'm going to ask you, how are you feeling? You know, are you looking forward to a season coming up?
Yeah, no, it's been way too long. That's why it was just a freak thing, which is why last year was so different. Because, like Coach said, I've never missed a game at any level my entire career. So missing games last year was definitely different. But luckily, I got cleared. Everything healed up. So I'm just, you know, been working as hard as I can to get back, and hopefully can, you know, when all this settles down, just get back to football as soon as possible. So,
you're clear to go, Zach? I'm sorry, Rob.
Yeah, I'm 100% ready to go. Yeah.
Hopefully, an exciting time with head coach Clingsbury, and you know, looking forward to seeing what the Cardinals can do.
Yeah, definitely. We got a good group, added some great pieces, and you know, bring back some really good guys from last year too. So it's an exciting time to be in Phoenix, and I'm just lucky to be a part of it.
Zach, I have to ask him this question because, you know, we're talking about backdrops. Well, your coach in the draft had quite a nice backdrop, and his, you know, almost as nice as your picture. But I think, you know, what do you think about that? That was quite the backdrop.
Yeah, when you've been a college coach and now an NFL head coach, you got some money in the bank to, you know, get a nice house like that. No, we're all jealous. We had a team meeting. We were all teasing him about it, but he's been awesome, fantastic, and you know, he's really is the hardest worker in the building. It's, you know, I try to beat him into the building. You can't. He literally lives there. So we're lucky to have him on our side, and I'm just thankful that he took a chance on me and drafted me.
So he doesn't really need that house. We can go out there and party, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right, right.
Zach, can you find location?
Zach, I'm wondering if you could give me your favorite high school memory and then your favorite college memory. And obviously, you're you're building your NFL resume now, but those two things would be interesting to me.
Yeah, I think in high school definitely was winning that second state championship. Losing to that team in overtime during the Turkey Bowl, and then that game we were down. It was a close game, so that was all, and kind of like the culmination of all youth football, high school football, the whole deal. Because my class, we all played together since we were third, fourth grade, so that was a blast. And then in college, I think my senior year, we had a really special team, and we kind of underproduced towards the back end, but in the middle of the season, beating Miami was a great win. Friday night national TV, because that win helped us get onto College Game Day when we were playing for an ACC or berth in the ACC championship versus Clemson. And then the year before, we beat Florida State 35-3, which I think was the biggest beating of Florida State in our school history. I might be wrong though. So yeah, that was a lot of fun. We won a bowl game, which hadn't been done in 9-10 years. So. We're working our way to, being as historic as Mr. Hanratty's Notre Dame, but we're getting there, stealing quarterbacks from there. So,
but, I tell you've got yourself a great kid. I know Phil very well, Djokovic.
Yeah, yeah.
I know his hometown is right around mine.
Oh, okay.
And I saw him.
We will take a break. We'll be right back.
The first person to survive Alzheimer's disease is out there. And the Alzheimer's Association is going to make it happen by funding scientific breakthroughs, advancing public policy, and providing local support to those living with the disease and their caregivers. But we won't get there without you. Visit ALZ.org to join the fight.
Everything but politics. That's what my show is about. Hi, everybody. I'm Debbie Nigro. What am I about? I'm about resilience. I'm about attitude, a lot of heart, and definitely a sense of humor. And I've heard that people feel better after listening to my show. I always look for the light in the dark, and I give you hope everything's going to be okay in your day. Delusionally young, outrageously fun. I book dynamic, upbeat guests. Check it out.
Debbie is heard at her new time, 11 till noon, every Monday through Friday on 1490 WGCH.
Love the storytelling, and there's so much going on with Perry Hanratty, Zach Allen, and Lou Marinelli, along with Dave Taromeo, Mark Jeffers, Bob Small in the studio. I'm Rob Adams. A great show tonight, and I haven't even had a chance to talk a lot with Terry, and I'm a huge Steelers fan, having grown up watching the Steelers, and so great to have all these guys here. Terry, you were in the middle of telling a story when we had to go to break. Why don't you carry on?
No, just telling Zach that I think they got a great, great, great quarterback in Phil Djokovic. He's from around my hometown, and I was happy to see he went to Notre Dame. I don't think he got a real fair shake there, and I was hoping that he'd land in a good spot. And I think BC is perfect for him because they got a new coaching staff, so no one's going to be ahead of him as far as knowing the system. And Phil's a bright kid. I mean, he averaged 19 points for two straight years in basketball. I mean, he's a great athlete. He can do it all. And what happened in Notre Dame, I don't know. But I'll tell you what, if you see, he has a different delivery than most quarterbacks. But then I said, do you ever watch Dan Marino throw the ball? Everybody looked at his arm and said, oh, man, that's a horrible motion he has. Then, about 50,000 yards later in the NFL, he's in the Hall of Fame. So, but Phil's a great kid, and I think he's going to fit in wonderful at BC. I know they're trying to get him to whether he's going to be eligible to play this year. We're assuming they're.
Right.
Yeah, that still has to be cleared. I hope he gets cleared because I think his days at BC is going to be really good.
I have a quick question for Terry, and since Rob brought up his beloved Steelers. Terry, the Immaculate Reception. Now, I mean, I don't even know if Zach, he's probably too young to remember this. But back then, that was, I think it was a playoff game against Oakland.
Oh, yeah, playoff.
AFC
Championship, I think.
Right, and it was, at the time, it was illegal the two offensive players to tip the ball, and now it's legal. But then if an offensive player touched the ball, you couldn't catch it if you're an offensive receiver. So obviously, right. My question is, who tipped the ball? Was it tipped by the offensive player?
If you look at it, Fuqua, it was, I think it was fourth down and 20 or something like that. Yeah, Terry dropped back and he scrambled around. saw Frenchie Fuqua downfield, threw the ball. Jack Tatum came up. And if Frenchie is going to cross the field and hits the ball's going to go that way. But the thing came bounding back straight towards Franco, who caught the ball about 3 inches off the ground, and the rest is history. We got the check and we got the ring.
party line, okay.
Well, there was always a belief, Terry, that the referees went over and got on the phone, and nobody ever knows what that phone call was about. Did you ever find out?
Well, you can't get on the phone because there was no replay back then.
Right.
So why were you on the phone? Were you ordering dinner? Or, you know, what was it?
they were probably
trying to say, how the hell are we going to get out of here?
That's what I thought.
That's funny.
The stands, you know, was a packed house. Yeah. And the stands are on the field now, all the fans.
Yep.
So we were holding them back from the field. So you had to, if they would have said no catch, I don't know what would have happened. Because they would have got us, please.
But one of my favorite stories about that was, and we've had Jim Rooney on the show actually about a month or so ago. And I think it was his dad who was leaving. He was in an elevator and he heard the crowd erupt.
That's right.
The game was over, right? Is that right?
When that happened, he was on Art Senior, you know, who started and bought the franchise, was coming down the elevator when that happened. And he was going, and if, that one thing about the old man, everybody called him that, the old man, the chief, is that when he came in the locker room, you had no clue whether you won or lost the game. He was the same the whole time, just a great, great individual. And he came down, and all of a sudden the players are going crazy, and he's wondering what's going on. And they said, Coach or Chief, we won the game. And, you know, then they had to be explained to him what happened.
Nice.
Oh, man.
All right, so did you guys, Coach, did you watch, what? I want to, both you and Zach, I asked Terry this already, but I'm just curious as to NFL draft. I'm a Giants fan. Sorry for those Pittsburgh and Arizona people out there. But what did you think about the whole ESPN NFL network coverage? I thought it was done quite well. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, I thought it was very, very well done. And they're able to show clips of the guys, their highlight films, so to speak. But I thought it was done very well. I mean, it was exciting. Of course, you know, we had a guy in the draft, so we were waiting to see what he's, you know, when he was going to go. But I thought it was really well done.
Zach, what did you think on the technical side?
Yeah, I think it went all smooth. You know, I was just like watching the normal draft instead of seeing them go up there. They're just in their houses. So, no, they did a really good job. No complaints.
Lou, I have to ask, I have to put you on the spot. So, you know, all the state championships, all the wins, you know, and you know, as anybody who played, there are games that I can remember from high school that stick out in my mind. What's the one that you really think about the most? You know, maybe you cherish a little bit more than some of the others. Not that they didn't mean as much.
Which game?
A game or a champion or a state champion team?
You know, there's been a lot of clunkers too. I can tell you more about those than I can about the. I would have to say the 1 year that we were down to Darien going into halftime. And I think we were down 20-7, and it was in the state championship. It was up at West Haven, and then to come back and to beat them 21-20 certainly was at halftime. I thought we were dead. You know, when you're talking to the team and you're looking in their eyes, and you know, and so at that point, I'm just let's make it respectable. But then, you know, Mike Collins and Alex LaPolice and the kids just kind of got together and pulled the whole thing out. That was special. It was special because it was a state championship, and it's special because it was against Darien.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, actually, because I have a picture of Jarrett. Yeah, after you took the lead 21-20, he was actually the one who came down and made the tackle on the kickoff. So we have pictures in the basement. But for those, you know, I know Rob knows this, but the Bedford Hills guy might not.
You know,
Michael Collins is now he's transferred and he's playing at Rice this year. What have you heard from Michael?
I've heard from Michael. I don't know. I think they only had 1 or 2 days or 3 days of spring practice. So I think it's too early to say. He felt very, very good about, you know, where he was and new offense that he had to learn. But, you know, he there's another tremendous kid, hard worker, you know, and you know, if he can – he's just been plagued with bad luck. The offensive coordinator, Sonny Cumbie, when they were asking him, the Rice coaches were asking him about it, he says, the worst thing I can say is he has bad luck. Because he did start 5 games as a junior, I think in 2018, got injured. And then when he got his chance again against Oklahoma State, he got hurt again, and it ended the season. So, you know, had he stayed healthy, you know, I think that, you know, he could have had a great career there. But, you know, the quarterbacks, as Terry can tell you better than anybody, you can only play with one. So, you know, and depending upon the system and the coaches and everything else. But I think, you know, Michael's done really well for himself. Another great kid. Another just outstanding individual.
And by the way, Mark, I'll jump in on talking about Lou for a moment. All the success in Connecticut. He's a New York native, and he coached in New York for a while as well.
I know. I have his bio. He's a Westchester guy.
That's
at
right.
Some point.
That's right. I've talked to and I'm a New York guy, so I've talked to plenty of New York people. They go, "Oh, we know Lou." So you were at Yorktown for a while, Lou. I'm in Mayapack, so I'm right up the road from there.
Right, right, yeah. That was a kind of a rivalry as well. Not as much as Panis, Yorktown Panis, but yeah, we played. Jerry Kevens was the coach back
yeah.
then. The kids that we coached there were just tremendous, fantastic kids, and tough, and you know, it's just a really athletic school, a great school. Actually,
go ahead.
Just to get Mark. Vinny Iovino was the coach at Fox Lane back yes. then, and he was the one that convinced me to go to New Canaan.
See? Thanks, yes, Coach. Lou, I really appreciate that because finally I'm in the show. I was waiting all night. I'm going to charge Hanratty some money because I hadn't been in the show enough. So, Terry, I have a quick question for you, and well, for the group. NFL draft, you're a quarterback. You should be a quarterback. What about, is Joe going to make it in Cincinnati? Is Burrow going to, is that a good pick? What do you think?
I was leery of the kid till I saw him play. And I think he is really special. He has a great delivery. He's big. He's a tough kid, and he's fast. And it looks like he can pick things up, you know, quite well. And it's going to be, the, you know, any quarterback, that's the toughest transition you have to make. But he's got every other thing. And the way he handled himself at the Heisman, the way he handles himself, the only thing, you know, with the cigar after the game, you know, it's a little strange. But, you know, times have changed. But I think he's got all the works to be a real good one. I mean, it's obviously time's going to tell. And he has a lot of weapons in Cincinnati. I mean, the only, you know, good part about going to Cincinnati now is that, you know, the coaching changes that they've made. Because they, you know, under the other guy, they haven't made a playoff in about 20 years. Now I think they got a young guy in there, and I think he's going to turn things around. And it looks like, you know, they're just going to hand the reins off to him and just let him, you know, make his mistakes and, you know, grow from there.
Oh, and what about another question then would be Tua in Miami? Injuries problem or no?
I was never a big Tua fan even before he got hurt. You know, I mean, everybody's going. You have to be a little leery about these. The Alabamas of the world, because they have so much talent around them. The quarterback has so much talent around them, where he's basically all his throws are pretty much put up in the air, and these guys went and got it. You know, I want to see some different throws from him. You know, so I was not real excited about him in the draft, but you know, who knows? I'm probably wrong.
All right, my last quarterback question, and this is a controversial one, so. The move the Packers made, picking up Zach Jordan, and you know, is Rodgers angry? Is it a good move? Is it a team move to back him up? What are your thoughts on that?
Good and love.
Well, I mean, I hope Rodgers is not upset. You know, it's not. They're not replacing him. I think Rodgers is a great quarterback. I think he has two or three more really great productive years ahead of him. And it's something that most teams should do and look to the future. I mean, you've got to find your, maybe this kid is not the future. Who knows? But you know, they're not gonna take any snaps away from Rodgers because this kid is with them. And it's just, you know, you just have to get someone and plug him in. I mean, don't you think New England would like to have Garoppolo back? You know, they got rid of him. I mean, they drafted him, they thought, early. And Brady stayed around a little longer than the patch thought. But they thought Garoppolo was their quarterback of the future. And you can't pay two quarterbacks. So, and Brady was still healthy. So, you know, it's a tough call, but you got to make it sooner or later.
Agreed.
Zach, what's the best way for people to follow you if they're interested in, is it Twitter, Instagram? How should they follow you?
As a fan of a Cardinals, or you're a fan of Zach?
Yeah, just Instagram and Twitter. Just search my name, it'll come up. But, yeah, pretty active on both. But, yeah.
For Lou and I, you put in a carrier pigeon.
A lot of fun tonight, you guys. A lot of fun. Really enjoyed it. Hope you all join us again.
Thank you.
Yes, thanks for joining us.
Thanks. Zach, hey. Best of luck to you, man.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
We're in touch.
Take care, Lou.
Take care. Thanks.
Great fun with these guys tonight. Terry Hanratty, Lou Marinelli, Zach Allen. I love this one. This is a favorite for me, you guys.
Me as well.
Bring a little Connecticut football over to the show tonight, right?
I'm happy about that. I'm a New Canaan fan now.
There you go.
Not just Connecticut, Rob. New Canaan football. There's a
We will see you next week here on the Clubhouse. We'll be back then. I'll be back on doubleheader tomorrow. But and thanks to Bob Small, as always, for producing it. So glad to have Terry Hanratty on, Zach Allen, Lou Marinelli. We'll see you next week. Make sure to check us out. Make sure to keep listening. For Mark Jeffers, Dave Taromeo, I'm Rob Adams. Stay safe as always, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening to the Clubhouse, 1490, 105.5, and WGCH.com anywhere. From our homes, once again, good night, everyone.
AM 1490 and FM 105.5, WGCH, Greenwich.